Hello, friends. Welcome to episode 43 of A Year-Long Conversation. Today, we're going to be talking about gender. We're going to dive deep into men, women, and everything in between. Joining me, as always, is Blue and Alabama's Michael. Michael, are you ready to dive deep into grabbing women by the pussy? I mean, women's studies. I can't believe I said this. I want to apologize. 11 years from now, when I run for president, Billy Bush, of course, he put me up to the whole thing, but somehow, I don't know.
I saw him throw the phone down and ran out of the room.
The Bush was like, we got to bring him down. He knows all of our secrets in that Fallen Towers movie. He'll figure out that we were personally killed Lincoln. I thought we were talking about gender because it's really become a big part of this campaign. I mean, Trump and Hillary, the contrast could not be more clear. The first female president, potentially, and perhaps the most anti-woman candidate. A lot of Republican candidates, they don't do so hot with women. I know that's a big surprise, but a lot of Republican candidates lose the female vote. Trump is really going to lose the female vote.
Yeah.
Romney and McCain and George H.W. Bush, every Democrat who's become president, Obama and Clinton, they won off the female vote. It's really kind of become the silent majority of the Democratic Party. In the Democratic Party, we talk about African Americans and Latinos and gay people, but really women are the silent majority of the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
And this is how Clinton and Obama, pretty much every major Democrat, has won in our lifetimes. Like, people are saying that with Obama, Democrats have got the African American vote for 20 years because the first black president. Do you think Hillary would have been the first female president? Do you think we'll similarly lock up the female vote?
I mean, I hope so. That'd be great. I don't know. I think it's harder to keep and hold women more than it is in minorities.
Tell me about it. Right after I say that, the Jezebel writers are hard at work. The Alabama liberal has to go. They'll be like, we need to boycott Alabama liberal. I'm like, how do you boycott a site that makes no money? I'm not sure. This is a historic moment, obviously, with Hillary. And with Trump, I mean, I'm so sick of hearing about him. Like, I think now we've hit that point in the race where I'm just sick of hearing about him. He's on the news all the time. He's been on the news for 2 years. And then I was listening to episode 41 and 42, and I was like, we had a nice conversation laid out about we're going to talk about corruption and Don Siegelman, and we're going to talk about our elections of big business and the solo democracy. But Trump, he kind of forces us to talk about him more and more. And it's never ending.
Yeah. Before we ever started this podcast, when you brought it up to me, you pitched the idea to me. What was my one stipulation? I didn't want to talk about Trump all the time.
Right. That was funny because, like, it sounds like a great idea, but I do not want to talk about Trump. And I was like, no problem. That had me laughing. I still think about it because I was like, you look like a genius now. You look like Nostradamus now, because this was a year ago when people didn't know that he would be on the news every fucking day for a year. People are saying, oh, Trump's going to start his own media network. I'm like, how could we tell the difference? Because CNN and MSNBC and Fox, I mean, they are the Trump network. I mean, how would we even be able to know if he started his own cable channel, because he's already on cable news all the time? Then I was listening back to 41, 42, and I really resented that we had to spend so much of a good topic on Trump and just purely his missteps, and we still didn't get to them all. Literally right after 42, you texted me like later and said, oh, we didn't even mention Bad Hombres. Do a whole podcast and not mention Bad Hombres or Nasty Women, because it's that much crap that he generates.
Yeah. You can't keep up with all of it.
That's another reason I hate him. He dates our podcast instantly, because, like, we'll record one, then it won't be but 1 or 2 days from when we record to when I post it. But it's like, this has happened, like, the last 5 episodes. We'll record an episode, and then 5 minutes after we get off the phone, Trump will, Trump said that all Muslims are evil or some shit. I mean, like, he said something just huge and puts up in a major way, and then it makes us look dated, really. I kind of hate it that we can't keep up with it. That Bad Hombres comment, we'll talk about that and then really get into Nasty Women and gender. When he said Bad Hombres, that was kind of funny, because he just looks like one of those people who can't help himself, because they're talking about something. What would you do about oil? Well, I tell you, Mexico sucks. About oil, though, you know, like, he just cannot help himself. Donald Trump, you're a racist. I'm not a racist. You're a Mexican. Wait, what? That doesn't make any sense. Yeah. So no matter how hard he tries, Trump, make sure you don't go out there and say anything bad about women or Mexicans. Gotcha. Bad Hombres and Nasty Women. Like, he just can't. He can't control it.
What if, like, he's trying to make his pitch towards, like, Hispanic voters? I'm going to go out and I'm going to Tim Kaine does entire speeches in Spanish. I can throw out Bad Hombres.
I know, man. That reminds me of Chico de Bao. I love taco salad. You know, it had, like, I love Mexico. Happy Cinco de Mayo. And I've been like, all the Mexicans are just like rolling their eyes so hard. It's like, oh my God, you can't tell me this fucking game. I can see Trump if there was a fourth debate. The debates are over, but if there was a fourth one, he comes out there and eats Taco Bell on the stage. This is edible. This is edible. He like spits it out. Remember on Hillary, he like takes a napkin and wipes it out of his mouth or something. But and then of course everybody says, oh, are you fixing your sniffles? I don't have sniffles, goddammit. He doesn't seem to have any respect for women at all. I think he really thinks about women. Like if he was just really off camera and you were talking to him.
Oh, I think he loves women. Like you were talking about how he's the least pro woman candidate. I think he's very pro woman. I think he goes about it the wrong way.
Trump will be like, I love women. I've spent millions of dollars on them.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, one thing I think is true, though, is like whenever Democrats are saying, oh, well, Trump, he wants to limit a woman's right to abortion. I think Trump is probably the most pro-choice candidate Republicans have had in a long time. I don't think he's really against abortion. I think he has to say that. I don't believe that he really wants to limit abortion access.
During the debate, they asked him 3 or 4 straight times, do you want the Supreme Court to overturn Roe v. Wade? They asked him 3 or 4 straight times, and he never answered the question. And he finally came out, and he's like, well, I'm appointing conservative justices, so that's what's going to happen. But I put on Facebook, he doesn't want to, and the Republican Party really doesn't want. The Republican Party really does not want Roe v. Wade overturned. They just throw it out there as a wedge issue.
Because their voters will be like, well, now that it is overturned, what else have we got, really? So it would take away a lot of their voters, because their voters, they might focus on other things. They've studied this and said that there's a lot of what you call single-issue voters, like some people solely vote on climate crisis, some people solely vote on guns. But the biggest group of single-issue voters is abortion. Nearly 15% of Americans are so against abortion that it's practically all they think about. And they almost exclusively vote Republican. So if you take that issue away from them, I mean, they might actually be like, oh, wait a minute, I care about other things. Like, I don't think they want to take that issue off the table. And I think that if you really look at practically what it would be, Republicans don't want more kids in the foster care system. They don't want more wards of the state, basically. They know if you really took away abortion, it would be more expensive for taxpayers. They know it would basically drive up the deficit and taxes and things like this to take care of all these extra kids. They estimate there's 1 million abortions in America a year. I don't know if it's really that high. That sounds really high to me. But if it's even a few hundred thousand, that's many extra kids that are likely going to be poor, likely going to be wards of the state. And you're talking about a lot of added increase, and I don't think they really want that and believe in that. Folks are sitting there thinking, this is what we need, more government and more poor people. No. Let me ask a big question. Are men and women really different? Because we keep seeing this with the Trump and Clinton presidency. We see it all the time in like 100 different ways. We see it in media. We see it in sports. We see the question being asked all the time. Are men and women really different? Are there things men can do that women can't do? Are there things women can do that men can't do? Gender has become, it's funny because there's always been men and women. As long as there's been cavemen and cavewomen, there's been like men and women. But it seems like people discovered this thing that's always been there and it's brand new for the first time or something. Because in the last few years, it's almost like, oh my God, I'm a man becoming a woman. I'm a woman becoming a man. Where are we going to use the bathroom? What's Miley Cyrus attracted to? There's like constant questions about it. It's like somebody going outside, did you know the sky was blue? The fucking sky's blue. Did you know that? Where have people been that like gender is now like a revelation? Women are oppressed. Women get sexually harassed. They get paid less than men. And it's always kind of been that way. But it seems like these things are becoming more to the forefront and people are really talking about them. Big question, and we'll go deep on it. Are men and women, are there really differences between them anymore?
Physically, but that's about it. You have your Caitlyn Jenners where physical differences are changing. No, I mean, as far as being equals, still inequalities, but as far as just strictly, is a man equal to a woman? I think absolutely.
Yeah, I think now, I think there's still differences biologically, but in terms of men and women, I think they're more similar today than they've ever been. Like, I think if you went back home a few hundred years ago, they really, really are different. And I think today they're very similar. There's still the physical differences, the hormonal differences, the sex organs, obviously. But like, as you said, that's kind of getting more fluid. People are not necessarily beholden to the sex they're born into. They may transition into different things. And I think now it's becoming a lot more fluid. Gender roles are, there's still people who are kind of stuck in that they do matter. And we're going to get into that because a lot of conservatives are kind of, I don't think a woman should be president in 2000. And eight, when they polled people, 1 in 10 Americans were not comfortable with the idea of a black male president, which is not great, but nearly a quarter of them didn't like the idea of a female president. So there were a lot more people that said, oh, Hillary, as a woman, I'm not comfortable with that. Probably those numbers are a lot higher because those are the people who felt comfortable admitting it. And I think that it's probably a lot higher than a quarter and probably a lot higher than a tenth. And when we go back and look at progress, typically black men, I'm not saying that they have it easier than white women. I'm not saying that at all. But they did vote before white women. there was a black male president before a white female president. Politically, they seemed to make more progress. I mean, Frederick Douglass was an ex-slave, and he became a senator. And then it took generations before there was a female senator.
Yeah, I agree.
How big of Trump's voting bloc do you think is just people who just flat out don't want a woman president?
I definitely see that. I know several people that have used that argument. And, I mean, even some women have used that argument. Now, most of these people that I've talked to have been pretty big evangelical voters. And
right.
they look at what the Bible says about a woman's role and that she shouldn't be in the White House. And that blows my mind. Female voter would reject being able to vote for a female candidate. And not just any female candidate, a female candidate who is overly qualified running against whatever it is that Donald Trump is.
But when people talk about sexism in America, this is sexism, that you can have Hillary come in and be like, oh, I was the first lady for 8 years. I was a senator from New York. I was Secretary of State for 4 years. And Trump comes in, my name's on a bunch of buildings. Vote for me.
Yeah.
I mean, you have somebody who has absolutely no government experience versus perhaps the most qualified presidential candidate in history. And people are sitting there, I just don't think a woman that they're talking about Saudi Arabia should have nuclear weapons. He says bad hombres and nasty women. And Hillary's over there like, here's my detailed tax proposal and the exact laws and loopholes I would use. I don't know. I'm just not convinced. That's got to be sexism in terms of you see Trump and he doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about especially foreign policy stuff. And Hillary's over there like, well, I personally know who the Secretary of Cabinet is for Iraq. So here's his phone number and here's what I'm going to do when I get in the office and I'm going to call him. And then Trump's over there like, ISIS is bad. Here's what I would do about ISIS. Blow him up.
I read it somewhere that this election summed up sexism. Overqualified woman working twice as hard to defeat a male for a job that he is unqualified for. If there is a story about women and equality, that's it.
They'll ask Hillary, like, what would you do about Iran? And then she'll name, well, here's the exact Iranian nuclear scientist that I would call up personally and ask him not to work with a nuclear bomb. And then Trump, Iran, let me tell you about Iran. Nobody knows more about Iran than I know about Iran. I know so much about Iran, it's going to blow your minds. Let me tell you about Iran. Iran is very bad. That's all I want to say about Iran. But I know a lot about Iran. I know more about Iran than anybody knows about Iran. And I think we said a long time ago, during the primaries, we're like, I really hope Trump is her opponent because he is the perfect opponent because he is sexist. All of these new claims are coming out about him aggravating women and assaulting women. These are not really new. I mean, I think even when The Apprentice was on, he was always in trouble for sexual harassment and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
He's always made these stupid comments about, like, women's appearances and things like that, even while he's running for president. What does Trump do? Does he go to a debate prep right before the first debate? No, he goes and like harasses a former Miss Universe on Twitter. It's just like, hey Trump, you want to learn about Mosul? I don't have time for that. I got to tweet out about Miss Universe's sex tape from 20 years ago. What I think is interesting is that all the stuff about racism and xenophobia, I don't think that's hurt him half as much as the sexism. Whenever people say, Trump, he wants to ban all Muslims, his poll numbers go up. When they say, oh, Trump, he wants to build a wall, and he keeps bringing up building the wall, people are going to say, oh, Trump lost this race because of how bad he trashed Mexicans. The scary thing is, that's not really true. And I think he probably could have won if he appealed to women at all. And he doesn't. And I think that that's what people are not saying, is it's the women. After the Miss Universe thing is when his poll number started to go down. And then when the pussy grab tape came out, they plummeted. Megyn Kelly, when he refused to go to that debate and face Megyn Kelly, he lost that primary right after it. His only big primary losses and his poll numbers dropped pretty much only with the stuff about women.
It's also partly because women are such a big part of the electorate. Minorities and Hispanics are not. I think also when you look at that, you can look at it and say that even men are turned off when you're treating a woman poorly. Looking at the traditional roles, you know, the man kind of takes on more of a protector role. And I think when you have somebody like Trump just constantly going out and belittling women, talking badly about women, that could turn off some male voters.
Yeah, some of them probably have been turned off. It's funny because usually the Republican Party, they have to kind of coach their sexism in more appealing terms. There was a reason that they wanted Mike Pence to be the head of the ticket and Trump to quit, because Mike Pence is how they usually prefer it. Mike Pence doesn't come out and say, I'm going to grab a woman by the pussy. He's like, we're trying to protect women from abortion doctor vultures, and we're trying to save them from themselves. Women, if they're allowed to have birth control, then they might be taken advantage of by guys who just want to sleep with them and never call them again. You know, he's protecting women from these terrible men that are just going to take advantage of them. A lot of what you hear out of the right wing is not so much like, oh, I just hate women. It's usually, we love them so much, we want to protect them from abortion clinics. We want to protect them from decisions that will haunt them for the rest of their lives, from men who just want to sleep with them and never call them again with the birth control. We're just trying to save women and their virginity and things like this. When we had sex ed, Coach who taught us sex ed, he made a big deal about women. Once you have sex, you'll never be able to get your virginity back. But of course, he didn't bother telling that to guys, because guys would be like, good riddance, you know. Put my virginity on a fucking bus and send it one way to the west or something. But that appeal didn't work. But with women, it was all about making them feel really guilty. And so it's this combination of, I'm going to make you feel guilty for being such a whore, but don't worry, because I can protect you from that. I'm here to save you.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit what Arabs do, Muslim countries do. We got to protect women by putting them in this burqa. Don't you understand? Once we get them in the burqa, men can't take advantage of them. We're just protecting them from men. That's all we're doing. So there's a very thin line between trying to protect women and oppressing them. It all starts out, there's too many rapists on the loose. That's how Trump kind of started the whole Mexican thing, was that there was supposedly some illegal immigrant that killed a white lady in San Francisco, and there was another case he found where a Mexican man had raped somebody. And it's all about this whole, we got to protect you from the rapists and the murderers and all those bad hombres out there, all those men that are out there. And women who don't accept that protection are nasty women. Women who say, if I want to go out, do what I want, if I want birth control, if I want to go out till 4 a.m, if I want to wear what I want to wear, if I want to have an abortion, these are my choices. These are choices you would want for yourselves, and I want the same choices that you have. I don't need your protection. Nasty women. They just won't let us save them from themselves. They're just always, they're so misguided.
Yeah. One of my focuses in school was Southern history and Southern cultures and things like that. And this is really when you saw after the Civil War and the New South start rising up, this was a role a lot of men started taking on. We were protecting Southern women, and they were using that to displace African Americans at the time. They were saying, you know, we have black men shouldn't be able to work grocery store because they'll rape our women, or they shouldn't be able to drink the same water fountain. Like you said, this is really not something new. It's something that we've seen throughout history, whether it's the United States, in Arab countries, wherever it is.
Michael, don't you know that black penises have diseases? Don't you know that? In the 1950s, they said, we can't allow black people to use the same toilet seats because their diseases are different. So it was all about, like, they had some kind of super immune. Apparently, black people could carry around these diseases like zombies that would just somehow not kill them. But if the white person got it, we would be over with. Southern antebellum thing. If you watch that movie Birth of the Nation, the original one from 1915, it's all about, like, the Ku Klux Klan is like this. They were kind of like the Justice League. I mean, that's how the movie portrays them or whatever. It was like Superman and Batman, like, teaming up and getting together to stop this black horde that was coming in to, like, take over, like, rape white women, kill them.
Yep.
And white women are always kind of seen as this very dainty, virginal, almost like a cloud, almost like a wisp of a cloud that was moving through, and you had to save them from this. And, of course, that still plays out in politics. In the 50s and 60s, they used the same thing. It was all about black men. Now Trump has kind of updated it a little bit to include Mexicans and Muslims. It can be like a Muslim man's going to chop their heads off in the Walmart parking lot, or a Mexican guy's going to rape them or sell them drugs or recruit them for a mariachi band called Bad Hombres, and they're going to open for nasty women. It's going to be a hot tour in 2016. They make a big deal about Trump. It's really not just Trump, and I think that's important to understand, because a lot of Republicans, I've seen a lot of hypocrisy. I've seen people, like you pointed out a few episodes ago, Robert Bentley being like, oh, Trump, he's got to go, and all this bullshit. The Republicans are exactly the same way. They're, and really probably worse, because they actively shutting down abortion clinics. But Trump's a bad dude if you meet him. Forced to sit by him at a charity dinner, he might grab your thigh, and it's like, oh, this fucking creep. But he's a bad guy to just the people in a radius of him, like in his vicinity.
Yeah.
We're talking about politicians like Mike Pence and even John Kasich. People think John Kasich's a nice guy. He's shut down dozens of abortion clinics in Ohio. So we're talking about governors that people don't see as bad guys. They don't see John Kasich as a sexist. As governor, his actions have been more sexist than anything you could accuse Trump of doing.
Definitely.
So when we get into the flip side of this, because Republicans are terrible when it comes to gender. They stick their foot in their mouth all the time. There's all this bullshit about legitimate rape. Being like, well, if a woman's really been raped, it's like, oh, no, I'm sure she went and got a rape kit because it was just a wild time. I'm sure that Friday night was exactly what she wanted to have. Well, if it's a legitimate rape, they won't need an abortion because their body will have a way to shut that down. You have to wonder where some of these people get their medical degrees. I mean, there's like OBGYNs and gynecologists who believe some of this shit. What if our sex ed teacher taught them sex ed to Now, a woman's body is a lot like a watermelon, and let me show you where the seeds go or something. I mean, I could just see it being a little bit dated. She's like, now a vagina, don't say vagina, a woman's baby place is where you put it, but it seems like there's a lot of misinformation and a lot of EDC. Let's play devil's advocate. Let's go to the Republican side. The flip side of this. This always kind of happens. Republican oppression is real. And people put their boot on the neck. Generations, black men have been prosecuted and put down and oppressed. And sometimes you have people lash out in an unhealthy way, like some of the police shootings we've seen. And I don't mean police shooting black men. I mean black men shooting police. So there's always kind of a reaction to that. In the case of gender and women, they've been put down. They've been oppressed for so long. And gender has stayed so lockstep. So that even if you had like a masculine woman or like an effeminate man or whatever, they were still forced to kind of be in these roles that maybe didn't fit them that well. But I think now that a lot of millennials may have gone too far in the other direction, and it's kind of obnoxious. For example, like Miley Cyrus, I'm bisexual. No, I'm a lesbian. No, I'm bisexual again. No, I'm pansexual. No, I just kissed a goat. Does that make me bestiality? Am I bisexual? I don't know what I am. Every fucking 2 weeks, she's got a different gender, different sexual orientation. Next week, she's going to eat too many Oreo cookies. Am I a food snack sexual? I don't know. I can't be tricked. Like, I'm pretty sure she's going to try out the scene from American Pie and see if she's in the blueberry pie. I think now there's this thing in American pop culture where if a pop star has not been in the media cycle for a few months, they got to go out and date a girl, or they got to be pansexual, or they got to say, I don't know about my sexual orientation. One time I met out with a light socket. Maybe that means something. I don't know. So they got to make this shit like a really big deal about their gender, their sexual orientation. It almost feels like a marketing gimmick. Like, it almost feels like a really shallow representation of what people have been fighting for decades.
Yeah, it does. You know, I look at it as kind of a disservice to all the people that been through this fight and fought to get equal rights and recognition and respect, and now all of a sudden it's just becoming mainstream, and like you were saying, it's almost becoming a way to grab attention. It takes away from those who are really, you know, that way.
I think in the media, there's this conversation playing out that is almost kind of glib. It's almost kind of like a caricature of people's real lives. So somebody's really bisexual, gay, transsexual, and they live in Kansas, and they're having to go through that. It's a little bit of a different world than Jenner, and a little bit of a different world than Miley Cyrus. And so when you see somebody like Jenner who's, well, I'm going to get breast implants, and I'm going to wear a wig, but I'm not going to change my sex. And by the way, vote for Ted Cruz and vote for Trump. What do you mean people don't like that I'm a Republican? What do you mean that they don't like that I support fucking Ted Cruz, like the least friendly LGBT candidate? I can't imagine a politician who's less friendly to gay rights. And then people who are in Kansas and going through this, well, we don't have $100 million to do it. We don't have your money to go through these same fight and these same issues. And when Molly Cyrus is like, what if I want to make out with a skillet and I'm a skillet sexual? Like, there's probably people going through real pain. Like, if you're gay or something in Montana or Wyoming, they probably see a Miley Cyrus video and like, you speak for me, Miley. And she's like, that's great. But they don't really, because what they're going through is so, they could be really beat up. I don't think Lady Gaga or Miley Cyrus or even Jenner are really going to get beat up. But I think that people like who go to high school in Montana or something, they have real skin in the game. They've got their lives kind of on the line. TV show Transparent, every TV show just about has a transsexual character now. Everything goes in phases. It used to be that there was like the gay best friend, and now every character is like transsexual. Transsexual people don't even make up 0.5% of Americans. They're barely 0.1% of Americans. But now they're overrepresented in pop culture. But when you watch a show like Transparent on Amazon Prime, he's wealthy and he lives in Los Angeles. And everybody he knows is gay or okay with people who are gay or okay with people who are bisexual or going through similar things. Their gender is so fluid. And I just wonder if you had that same show and you said it in Kansas, wouldn't that be a way better show? Like, wouldn't that be just a lot more interesting to see people who, in the whole first season, the worst thing he deals with is he goes into a bathroom and somebody's like, you're in the wrong bathroom. And I mean, I wonder if it would, well, I live in Shit Kicker, Missouri, in a small town or whatever, and then some guy comes in and is like, hey, I'm a woman now. Punch. I mean, like, they might really have to go through something like visceral, something that's a little bit more than just their feelings.
Right.
The conversation's a bit disconnected from how most people are going to go through it. And it's different in the United States. I mean, in Los Angeles and New York, it's probably a lot easier than it would be in anywhere else. I mean, think about Africa or the Middle East or most of Asia. I just imagine it'd be a lot more difficult.
Yeah.
Education episode, you mentioned that one of your teachers was talking about, like, separating the genders. He wanted, like, girls in the class and boys in the class.
Yeah.
And then he was kind of saying that people always say, which is that, oh, the girls, they would love it because boys wouldn't be flirting with them and they could feel more comfortable to just freely. And boys said they wouldn't be distracted by the women. This is pretty much the exact rationale of madrasa in the Middle East has got like different genders going to it. I'm just curious with this kind of mentality, and he phrased it as boys and girls learn differently.
Yeah.
He keeps saying boys got bath a lot faster than girls did.
His argument was that he could teach boys using football or, you know, something like that, and they learn faster. Girls, he had to like slow down, basically teach them and like praise them and like encourage them and, you know, push them down.
I can see him now like, oh, I had to encourage my students. It was a nightmare. It was awful.
Yeah. I know. He was giving an example of the boys. He put a math problem on the board, graph 4 and -2. He said with the girls, he had to, like, get all the kids up out of their desk and, like, organize the entire classroom into a giant graph, physically walk the girls to the place in the classroom where the dot would be, and that's how he made them understand how to graph. Just a bunch of nonsense like that. He was trying to say that you had to take all these additional steps to teach women and not men.
I could see him now. He gives them like a bunch of rags, and he's like, now the way an integer moves across the line is the way you're going to move this mop across the floor. Get this floor stick and span. The way he was explaining it sounds really insulting. Boys, you just say, hey, 2 + 2, and they get it. But girls, got to give them a box of Kleenexes, and they cry all over the numbers. I can barely read their homework. There's so many years on the page. In school, I heard boys are better at math than girls are. Boys are a little bit better at science, and they're a lot better at math. When I went into the AP Calculus math class, there was way more girls in there than boys. And I was there for like a day, and I was like, I got to take an easier math class. I can't fucking do this crap. When I was in college, I avoided every math class I possibly could. And I was like, oh,
yeah.
I can take math or watching The Sopranos. I'll take watching The Sopranos. So I would take these. I want to get into that a little bit. The narrative of the media is women are fighting to pull even, and you keep seeing that. You see that in Jezebel, Hello Giggles, all these different articles. Women are fighting to pull even. I think when you really go in and look at the numbers, women are not even, they're ahead of men in many, many categories. Within 10 years, the majority of breadwinners in America are going to be women. More wealth is going to be dominated by women than men. When you go to a law school, the majority of law school classes now are more women than men. The majority of medical school classes now are more women than men. You're entering an age where women are getting more advanced degrees than men, and you're talking about boys are going to be struggling to pull even. But that's not the way that it's printed. And people, well, there's no good roles for women in the media. Well, there's New Girl, Girls, Supergirl. So you're talking about like all these shows with girls on top, but there's not one show on TV called Boys. Like, what if it was like Brody and Michael and we got a show Boys or something like that, and it was like, hey, we're hanging with the boys. This is fucking trash. I cannot believe this sexist garbage is even on television. I have a 3-year-old son. I've mentioned that a few times on the podcast. I haven't really talked too much about him, but sometimes we'll be watching TV shows. We'll watch kids' television shows. Their show will be on the air, and for no reason, they'll just stop and be like, girls can do anything. And turn that light right to the camera and then go back to what they're doing or whatever. And it's like, well, where'd that come from? They'll be doing a math problem. Girls are really good at math. And when you see like children's characters, the girls are usually like these really smart, brainy, like, oh my God, she's got a black belt in karate and she can do math and she knows about science and work on. And then the boys show up, they're really good at playing video games. And then it's, the boys are sort of losers. They don't really have any skills or anything special. And I wonder if we're kind of entering an age where so much of it has been about trying to make women equal and feel good about themselves and build them up. I wonder about boys. Like, I wonder what's their future, because a big recurring theme in our podcast is angry young men. ISIS, it's school shooters, it's people who go into an office building and shoot it up, it's serial killers, it's people who join gangs.
Yeah.
Anytime you have a country where the majority of young men have nothing to do, you usually look at crime, sometimes civil war, a lot of times violence. You almost always see that break out. So that's a recurring factor, whether you're in a Western democracy, people, oh, we got to get rid of the guns. Well, you can get rid of all the guns because the Middle East has pretty strict gun laws, but you still have terrorism. You still have a lot of problems in countries that have really strict gun laws because you're not solving the angry young men problem, which is what you're not solving, because that's the profile of every mass shooter is an angry young man, and banning guns outright, that doesn't really solve it in any other countries. First of all, what do you think the future is for girls, and what do you think the future is for boys?
That's a tough
brain teaser.
I think you're going to have at least a genitive of women who surpass men in, you know, pretty much everything. As far as you're going to see a generation of upper middle class women and men struggling to keep up. And I think they'll initially come up with some excuse for boys. Oh, they're just being boys or whatever. Whereas girls are like, oh, we got to.
Well, it's kind of funny because they already have, it seems like, different standards. Because when I listen to people talk about their daughters and their sons, with their daughters, it might be something like, oh, we're going to apply to Harvard. We're going to apply to Yale, we're going to see what we can do about getting her into like ballet or something. When it comes to boys, I'm sure he'll find something to do. Their expectations are not as high. When you go into schools, it's that way, because with girls, it's almost like, oh, Michelle got an A+ again, and then the boy will show up and be like, well, all I can really keep him from doing is punching somebody. And if he don't get in the fight that day, good. Sure, you've had the same experience. When I was a school teacher, I think girls were better in general. When you compare boys to girls, girls were way better in general than boys are. But the three or four worst students, like the worst students I had, the three worst ones were girls. And that's because of the way boys and girls think. Girls will sit down, make like a 10-page plan of how to ruin your life. You know, about Mr. Fletcher is going to be homeless in a year from this plan. But generally, boys were way worse. You'd come in and the girls would sit down and be like, here's my homework. And the boys would be like, give me my fucking pencil and punch some kid in the face or something. I mean, it just felt like a miracle to get shit out of them.
Yeah. It's funny you say that, because we were finishing an assignment today and started it last week, and most of my girls were finished and they were sitting quietly playing games and reviewing. We have a test coming up, so they've been reviewing and things like that. I have a group of three boys in one particular class, and they're just terrible boys. They're constantly out of their seat, constantly talking, throwing, grabbing. I'm constantly having to tell them to stop grabbing each other. One of them comes up to me at the end of class. He's like, hey, can I have some candy? Because I keep a thing of candy in my closet to give out, you know, as a reward or something. And it's just like bubble gum or something. And I was like, why should I give you candy? He's like, I've been in my seat and like actually did what I was supposed to today.
Because a girl will be like, well, I pretty much redid your filing cabinet. Okay, here's a piece of gum. The boy's like, hey, I brought a pencil to class. Do I get a piece of gum? And you're exactly right. That's exactly how it would go. I felt like the boys would want a reward for doing nothing. I am a little worried, though, because when you have a three-year-old son and you're seeing the trend, more and more women are getting advanced degrees. Women are outpacing men in terms of job growth, in terms of being hired, in terms of earnings potential. And we see it in my own family, because I'm not ashamed to admit, and this is kind of something I want to talk about, for the first several years he was born, I was a stay-at-home dad. I mean, I made some money on the side or whatever, but my wife made the majority of the money. I was a stay-at-home dad. It's really funny to see people's reactions to that, because some people are like, that's really cool, and then in the back of their mind they're like, yuck. And then some people are just like, yuck. Like, to their face. Like, people think that that's a cool thing until like, they really have to do it. If you ever meet women or whatever, and they're just like, well, I don't think I would want a guy who makes less money than me because I feel like he would have a problem with it. Nope. No guy would have a problem with that. I've never in my life met a guy who said, you know what I need? A woman who makes no money. That's what I really need. Yeah. I've never met a guy who said, I want a woman who's a burden. I want a woman who can't take care of herself, and I have to buy everything for her. I met that all the time, especially in Alabama, but even in New York, because people think like, oh, New York women or whatever. I was like, no, they were just as much into finding a guy with money. That was one thing the North and South had in common, is that it just didn't change at all. I'm kind of wondering about dating and marriage and relationships, because within 10 years, women are going to outpace men in terms of money in America. So, well, there's the pay gap and the equality and things like that. Even still, a majority of women are going to be the breadwinners. You're going to see more stay-at-home dads. You're going to see more women as the primary breadwinners. And I'm just wondering how women are going to deal with that, because when I meet women, almost exclusively, I hear them say that they don't want to take care of a guy. And they mean financially. That's what they mean. I'm wondering what that's going to mean for women and how they choose to date. Like, what happens when you're in a world where 2/3 of women make more than men, and yet every woman wants a guy who makes more than they do, or at least breaks even with them. I'm just wondering what that's going to be like for dating in the future.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
And I think that's why you're seeing so many people say, well, every year less and less women get married, and women get older and older as they get married. And I think money may have something to do with that. Like, I think before, when it was women couldn't have any money and there was almost no job opportunities, or it was like, yeah, I'm 18 years old, I might as well get married because I can never own property. I think that that's a good thing. But I think now it's like you get all the freedom in the world and you can take forever to choose, and more people are just not choosing. More and more, any dating website in America, you get on any dating website in America and you'll see 40, 45, 50-year-old women being like, I'm not going to settle. Well, I don't know that it's settling to be 50 years old and think you're not going to find a guy who's a millionaire. Like, I don't know that that's not settling anymore. I think there's some things that come in. And you saw that especially in New York. It's kind of funny because the perception was different than the reality. In Alabama, people think girls are like gold diggers. They think women can't stand on their own feet. I feel women in Alabama were a little bit more independent only because they have kids so young and then the guys leave or disappear. When they're 22 years old, they've got two kids. You kind of have to be a Wonder Woman. You kind of have to do it all. You sort of have to bring in money and manage a house and have two kids. And really, I feel like they were more in it and really more feminist, but they didn't see themselves that way. But they're really doing a lot of feminism. And then in some place like I live in Los Angeles, you might have the Real Housewives of Orange County who were completely dependent on a man, but they talk about feminism every breath.
Yeah.
Like, well, as a woman, I think it's only right that a guy buys me a Mercedes. As a feminist, it's only proper that he buys me a meat coat and a private jet. That's only the right way to do that. I'm fighting for women's oppression. I'm trying to help women break even with men. That's why it's only right that he buys me a diamond ring. It felt like the rhetoric didn't really match up with what was really going on a lot of times.
Right.
I'm going to make one last point. And the pay gap is real. People like Trump who want to say that it's not real or it's made up, it is real. It's not being popular with liberals and Democrats. It's actually really bad for men. What? They're probably like, what the fuck are you talking about? But it's a really bad thing for men that the pay gap exists because typically employers are trying to hire people cheaper. That's the whole argument behind illegal immigration. They'll work more hours for less pay. What is the pay gap but more hours for less pay if you're talking about women and men? So if men want to act like it's not real and they want to act like it's not happening, you might want to think about that when you have to go up for a job and they're like, hey, this woman's willing to take 77 cents for what he's going to cost. We're going to save $10,000 a year by hiring her. So you might want to think about that in terms of like it's not real and it's not happening. But it's also bad for men in the sense of all that money that's not going out into the economy. Because who has the most buying potential? Women. Women typically spend more money than men. That's why most TV ads are targeted towards them. Whenever you see like the Nielsen ratings and the TV ads and the marketing, marketing is geared more towards women because they know men, they don't buy as much stuff. They don't shop as much. They don't spend as much time in the stores. Most married men that I know, they haven't bought clothes. When you go into a men's clothing store, you see more women than men because they're buying clothes for their husband, their boyfriend, their son, their brother. They basically run the economy. They also get that song, We Run the World. Well, they run the economy. If you had nothing but men buying shit, no place would be open but Reebok and a chili store. That's all that would be open is like Chili's and Reebok. I mean, that's it. I mean, all these businesses would fucking close. Women run the economy. So when they're not getting paid as much and they're taking 77 cents on the dollar, that's a quarter that's not going back out into the economy. And when you have a family like mine where my wife's the breadwinner, the difference between 77% and 100% is a second car. That's a vacation we don't take. That's a second car we don't get. That's cable that we don't have for months at a time. We're squeezing pennies and stretching dollars like rubber bands because she's not getting paid what she's worth. And right now, she's not getting what she's worth. And that affects our whole family. So businesses think, I'm going to pay her less. And feminists and Jezebel and different websites like that, they see that as like, oh, this is women's oppression. It oppresses us all because her money is my money and it's my son's money and it's these people's money. Like, we're a family unit. So the less money you have going to her, that's less money going around for everybody. And that's less money going into the economy. So we're not taking vacations, we're not buying a second car, we're worried about cable. Really is bad for everybody. So when people want to make the pay gap argument, it's terrible for women. I'm not saying that it's not mostly about them, but it has a trickle-out effect that really wrecks the whole economy.
Yeah.
Join us for episode 44, which is the final episode before the election. Michael, what's your web address for us?
It is blueandalabama.com.
And of course, you can find me at Alabama Liberal. Thanks for listening, everybody.